ball, take a knee, and that'll end. Hill's going to drop this one, and wait a second. The ball is loose. Fisher's got it, and he's got Walker. Top 20, he's to the 10. Touchdown, Bills! Nothing in this fight. Holy moly. What? No! They're going to say he stepped out of bounds at the 30-yard line. The game comes to an end. The Bills lose a heartbreak.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to the J-Red Show on Anchor and Spotify and everywhere you get your podcast. I've been fighting a nasty cold, so that's why my voice is kind of shredded. So, yeah. My life's great right now. Bills winless in November. Sabres winless in November. And I got a stinking cold. So I'm going to name this show, I Feel Like Crap. But anyhow, let's go into the festivities. The Bills lost 33-30 to the Minnesota Vikings. They were up 27-17 when Josh Allen threw an interception to Peterson. Minnesota went all the way to the and scored a touchdown. Buffalo went 3-and-out. Minnesota stormed on the field again. Buffalo stopped them on 4th and goal. But on the ensuing possession, Singletary fumbles, Eric Kendricks picks it up, and Minnesota takes a 30-27 lead. Buffalo storms down the field and kicks the game-tying field goal. Minnesota kicks the field goal in overtime, and then Josh Allen throws the interception, another interception, to Peterson to end the game. Okay, there's a lot of thoughts I have this game. The optimist in me says, okay, Poyer is out. Tre'Davious White is out. Edmonds is out. This team, this defense is gutted by injuries. You gotta figure that this Minnesota comeback would not have happened if they were healthy. So, that's the optimist in me. But it is so disheartening to see this coaching staff repeat the same mistakes that cost them last year. Why is Josh Allen throwing the ball with 6 minutes left? Run it. Kill the clock. Go for the field goal. Take the points. Do anything else. And it is affecting Josh Allen's game. The coaching decisions. Josh Allen has not been himself. 29 for 43. 330 yards. 1 touchdown. 2 interceptions. He has not looked the same since halftime of the Green Bay game. And now the Bills find themselves 3rd place in the AFC East. Another reason to be concerned is all of a sudden the division, it looks tough. We had in this season thinking the Chiefs would be in the tough division, which would open the way to the Bills getting the number one seed. But it turns out the Bills are the one in the tough division. All of a sudden we'll look up on Miami and the Jets. And they are 0-2 in the division. These next 5 games are huge. Realistically, the Bills could lose 1 or 2 more games, maybe 3, and still be okay for the playoffs. But in my mind, the playoffs start now because they have used up all the mulligans. They got to start winning now. They got Cleveland and Detroit next. 2 very easy, beatable opponents. And then all 3 of their division rivals. And remember, they're 0-2 in division. After Detroit, they got New England. Then the Jets, then the Dolphins. They need us to pick these wins. And the thing, as I said, my hope as a Bills fan is once they get Tre'Davious White back, once they get Jordan Poyer back, once this defense get healthy, then I'm hoping that the Bills can get hot and go right to the Super Bowl. Obviously, I do want the number one seed. I would like to skip the wild card round, go to the second round. But frankly, getting healthy is more important than the number one seed. I'm not too worried about the number one seed at this point. But about this coaching staff, I am really starting to question the decisions made by Ken Dorsey. At first, I liked the hire Ken Dorsey. I was glad they moved on from Dable and went to Dorsey. But now I'm really starting to second guess it. If this coaching staff costs the Bills yet another Super Bowl, then the Bills need to go out and get Frank Reich or Sean Payton, someone who can really open up this offense and give Josh Allen the game plan he desperately needs. But the thing about the NFL is it is so upside down. I have no idea who's who anymore. Who would have thought 10 weeks into the season, the Bills would be looking up at the Jets and the Dolphins? I haven't been super impressed with those teams. I mean, yes, the Dolphins are 7-3 and Miami 6-3, but does anything of those teams scream Super Bowl contender? In the NFC East, the Eagles are 8-1. The Giants are 7-2. Minnesota's 8-1. Do any of these teams look like a Super Bowl contender? I don't know. I mean, their records are good. I can't deny that. But the Eagles, the Vikings, they've had easy schedules. They don't have a world-class quarterback like Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, or Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers got a huge win over Dallas thanks to awful coaching by Mike McCarthy. And Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers got a huge win over Seattle in Germany. So far, this NFL overseas expansion has been a success. It's really nice to see the Germans really enjoy American football. But I just can't count those two teams out because of the quarterbacks they have. San Francisco's also a dog horse for the Super Bowl. I mean, for the AFC, I'm still saying it's Buffalo, Kansas City, or Baltimore. I have no idea who's going to emerge from the NFC. Oh, we have some breaking news. Before I go to college football, the Bills' next game versus the Cleveland Browns will be moved to Detroit. So they'll be playing two games in Detroit in 4 days because of the impending snowstorm. So I have a lot of good memories of the snow games. I remember the Snowvember game in 2014. I remember the Colts game in 2017. I mean, it sucks for Bills fans, but this is the right call. Or the same Twitter, J Red Show. College football has been no real movement. Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, and TCU are both, all four of them are 10-0. You can probably expect either of them to. Ohio State's going to face Michigan, so one of them's going to suffer one loss. But that's looking more and more like your top four. Although I think USC and LSU still has a shot. Now, as I said, I'm down on the Bills, but I'm not hitting the panic button. The Sabres, I'm hitting the panic button on. After three straight months of quality hockey, they have now lost seven in a row. And all of a sudden, we're back to where we've been the last 11 years. And the problem is they're afraid to hit. They lack grit. They're not going to the net. Is it just about the lack of hits? It's about getting beat off to the puck, losing battles. There is more to physical play than just hits. Hits are great, but these guys are not physically hard on the puck. They force no one to pay the price. Opposing players have no fear of going to the corners to dig out the puck. Comrie should feel Dahlin when the opposition goes to net. Also, most of the time, the defenseman not named Dahlin fold under pressure. I know his power is very soft at the point, pressured. Last night when he coughed it up twice, I believe he doesn't want to get the hit and make the pass. Olofsson did the same thing. Now, I will say this about the Sabres. The talent is there. They are not as bad as this 7-game losing streak has showed. But that doesn't mean they're fine. That doesn't mean just stay the course. They really need a second line. They need Cousins should be on the third line, that checking line. Last week I said this was a play. This might be a playoff team. I'm gonna take that all back. They don't even look like a meaningful games in April team right now. I mean, there's still time for me to change my mind, but Kevin Adams needs to start making some moves because this division's starting to get away from them. 14 points, trailing Montreal and Detroit. I know on paper they are better than Ottawa. They are better than Vancouver. They should be better than this. And man, so frustrating. The FIFA World Cup's going to begin this Sunday. Qatar will kick it off as a take on Ecuador. My prediction for the finals will be France defeating Argentina. But this World Cup is a disaster. It hasn't even begun. We have Ronaldo going on the Piers Morgan show and throwing his team under the bus, Manchester United, pretty much saying he wants out of Manchester United, doing what Jack Eichel did here in Buffalo. He might have tarnished his legacy there. They must adhere to a Qatari law. Any alcohol, pork products, or displays of homosexuality will result in imprisonment. Fire festival in its dinghy tents. Stadiums built off slave labor. Journalists harass. Accusations of Qatar bribing opponents to tank. The World Cup is normally the most watched sports event in the world, but who knows how many people are going to watch this World Cup. I'll probably tune in every now and then. I'll probably watch the finals, but I don't know. And root for Team USA. But Team USA, I think, I'm hoping they should be at least second in the group. Don't think they'll beat England, though. Finally, on to basketball. I got this question on Twitter. Is Steph Curry a top 10 player? I'm going to say yes, because he has the most three-pointers. But I guess the problem with this question is you can't really compare eras. Like, when people argue Michael Jordan versus LeBron, it's hard to compare. But one of the biggest surprises of the year, Golden State has 6 wins and 9 losses. And this is despite the fact that Steph Curry is having a career year. He's had 32.8 points, averaged 6.8 rebounds, 6.4 assists. But the rest of the team is struggling. Klay Thompson's in a shooting slump. Green's defensive impact has been slipped. Poole's been less reliable. Meanwhile, the prospects have been largely dumped from rotation. Wiseman was assigned to the G League. This was after a poor start. Kuminga's been a non-factor. They call up new guys, DaVinci Green and J. Michael Green and Anthony Lamb. But you got. I think the thing to remember is it's still early. The Boston Celtics last year hovered around 500 most of the year. Then got hot on Suval, and then they got hot and then got to the NBA Finals. In the Spurs game a few nights ago, they looked like an all-star exhibition. Everything was working right, and they looked decent in the first week of the season. So the potential exists, but there's also a lot of underperformance. Poole at times to look Curry's replacement. Toss agreement area up and down. And as Curry notes, there are 29 teams that could open up a can of whoop-ass in every game. There's not a sole reason for Golden State struggles, but it might help if Draymond Green to find his game. I'm sure the Warriors will be in the mix to repeat this season. But I think it's time for them to move on from Klay Thompson. His struggles are more mental than anything. So, what are your thoughts? I think it's just an early season slump. So, what are your thoughts? Hit me on Twitter at JRedShow, and I will see you later.